Is the Equality Act the next step for cancel culture? That's what we're going to talk about during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Scott Powell, who does a lot of writing for Discovery, the Discovery Institute, discovery.org, for more information. And recently he wrote about this very subject, that the Equality Act, so-called, is the next step, potentially, for cancel culture. Scott, thank you so much for joining us again on the program.
Absolutely.
All right, first of all, for those who don't know about it, the Equality Act, that sounds good. I'm for equality, you're for equality. Who could be opposed to the Equality Act?
Well, equality of outcome and equality of opportunity are two different things. Americans have traditionally understood that equality of outcome is the goal, not equality of results necessarily. That's what socialists want. But just for starters, and to get your listeners' attention, if the Equality Act passes, it would codify social arrangements in pursuit of equal outcomes that are unnatural for the vast majority of Americans, changing society's norms in unacceptable ways, bringing on greater division and opening up a new front in the cultural civil war. We're already in a pretty advanced cultural civil war. Do we want to make it worse at this point, or do we want to bring the pendulum back? I think we want to do the latter.
Well, one aspect of the Equality Act, of course, is the idea that it would codify into law the idea that you cannot disagree with the radical homosexual agenda, you can't disagree with transgenders, the transgender agenda, and if you do, you're somehow guilty of a hate crime or you're accused of being a bigot. Your thoughts on that?
Well, this is absolutely un-American. You know, we are a country of diversity, you know, and that means diversity not only of race, but diversity of opinion, diversity of ideas. We are also a nation that predominantly is a Christian nation, and the roots of the Christian's belief go right back to creation, that God created we were created man and woman. We are separate and different in terms of our biology and our temperament. We all know this is the fact of life, that we are different. Now, some people may have a confused idea of their gender, but this is such a small minority of people. I mean, a fraction of 1%, that why should we rearrange all of society to accommodate that small minority? And moreover, it creates all kinds of problems.
Well, for example, with the situation with, the transgender and gender confusion and so forth, it's my understanding that virtually every cell of the human body communicates in thousands of different ways. Each cell, just about.
That's right.
Communicates in different ways, whether this is a male or a female. I mean, just chromosomes alone determine that. And so why all this push that, for gender fluidity and, well, this is your assigned gender at birth, but it doesn't have to be your assigned gender going forward. And they're fostering this on little kids. It's just, we've lost our common sense, I think.
Well, it is more than that. We are in a spiritual battle for the future of Christianity, the future of America. And to break us down, they want to break down every institution, including marriage. They want to break down individual identity. They want to create dysphoria of who I am as a person. And when people are confused and they're demoralized, they are a weak and vulnerable people. We have enemies in the world that want to take over America. Do we really want to weaken the social fabric of our country by this next step in the culture war? We certainly don't.
All right, now
we need to strengthen our society. We need stronger families. We need to live life to its fullest the way we were created by God.
You know, I do want to say this. The American College of Pediatricians, which, you know, is a more conservative organization than, say, some of the other scientific associations. But anyway, they have said that about 80 to 90% of the children who experience gender dysphoria, by the time they reach puberty, this thing resolves itself naturally. And yes. So in the meantime, what's happening is some of on the left are saying, well, you know, if somebody, let's say a little boy, is confused about his sexuality and he thinks maybe he's a girl or whatever, go ahead and give him puberty blockers and hormone therapy and maybe even an operation or whatever. And this is, in effect, this could be permanent damage foisted on somebody, you know, dealing with a temporary problem.
Jerry, let's be more direct. This is child abuse. This is a crime against children, pure and simple.
Well, it's very disturbing. You know, in fact, one fellow I spoke with, the Terry Schilling of the American Principles Project, he said he's predicting that in about 10 years, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits from some of these young people who are so disheartened. They went through what the adults said that they should go through, and it ended up causing them all kinds of major, major problems in life that they can't just go back and undo.
Well, another result of the cancel culture is that we cannot even discuss the statistics on this particular group. The statistics, as I understand them, and I'm not an expert in the field, but the suicide, people who go through with a transgender transformation with, you know, it can be surgery and hormone therapy and so forth, the odds of their committing suicide go way up.
Yes.
And so this, you know, you can know something by its fruit. If the fruit of this is that suicide rates go up, is this something that we want to foist on children? It certainly isn't. And so you're absolutely right about common sense, but I will add to common sense that we are in a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that the forces that are operating in our culture want to destroy, they want to destroy the family, they want to destroy Christianity, and they ultimately want to destroy America as a constitutional republic that we've known.
Do you think that if the Equality Act were to pass, and it did pass in the House of Representatives, but it has not passed in the Senate, if it were to pass and then Joe Biden signed it into law, what impact would that have on, let's say, Christianity in America?
Well, what impact has homosexuality had on Christianity and on the family? On balance, it has weakened the sacredness of the marriage institution, has it not?
Yes.
Homosexuality has diminished the sacredness of heterosexual marriage, the normalcy of traditional heterosexual marriage. It's been weakened. But transgenderism just goes one step further in breaking down norms. I mean, this is the end game now. If you can destroy people's identity of who they are as a man or a woman, then you have done the devil's work, pure and simple.
Well, you know what's interesting? There's one side of this that is hardly brought out at all, and that is that there are many people in our culture who are former homosexuals, former lesbians.
Yes.
I've interviewed them. I've interviewed them on this very radio show, and they would be among the first to say that, if these kinds of laws become totally the law of the land, including hate crime laws, that in effect to share their testimony is a crime. You know, it's like, I was a homosexual, now I am not, thanks to Jesus Christ and the gospel. And to say that is criminal, that doesn't make sense to me.
And if you ask them further, they'd say, are you happier now than you were then? What would their answer be, Jerry?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. So really, we are created by God to be at peace, to be happy, to have joy in our life, and we want to do the things that bring that about. So taking these turns off to what is, you know, a secular progressive direction oftentimes brings on, you know, great disappointment and pain and anxiety and suicide. My gosh, it's crazy to open the door to something that has those kinds of results. Maybe not in everyone, but in a higher percentage. Those are indicators. You know, the Bible's very clear. He said, you can know something by its fruit.
Yeah.
If the fruit isn't good, then you don't eat it. Then you don't go there.
Comment, if you would, on cancel culture. And how is cancel culture, how would it be linked to the Equality Act should that pass and become the law?
Well, you know, first of all, you could say it's highly invasive and wide-ranging, nullifying people's First Amendment rights. It could threaten everyday speech, parental rights, and even resulting in people being fined or losing their jobs for using the wrong name or pronoun. We have all heard about, you know, the bathroom confusion, right? Bathrooms and locker rooms. I mean, that is a huge violation for a lot of people. You know, girls don't want boys, boys that have transgendered into women in their locker rooms, most of them, into their bathrooms. My gosh. And the degrees, you know, no one's defining, well, what is a true transgendered person? What if you've gone through hormone therapy, but you haven't gone through the actual surgery, but you think you're a woman? Well, by this law, you'd be able to go into a woman's bathroom, go into a locker room. It'll destroy sports, women's teams. I mean, we are on the verge of insanity in this country. Sports are very important for both men and women. And sports are to have integrity. If transgendered men who've transgendered to being women but have
they still have the male
physique,
yeah, right.
The strength of a man, they would dominate women's sports. They would be the prize winners. And it would destroy female sports. I don't know what feminist supports that. Female sports are a healthy part of society. They're a healthy, you know, outlet for young girls. They're essential, just as they are for boys.
If you have a girl that's transgendered
to a male, right? Obviously, if it's a female, she's probably going to be weaker. So there'll be no prize winners by that direction of transgenderism. But the other way, males that transgender to female can destroy female sports. I mean,
it's already beginning to happen.
Where does it stop?
It's already beginning to happen in some places, and there's a lot of prize money at stake. For example, scholarships for track and field and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's funny, Scott, I've seen many races and so forth, and I mean running races when I say that, and it's very rare to see a woman win, a natural-born woman. But then when you have these boys that didn't do great, you know, as males competing with other males, and then they say, oh, I'm a woman, actually, and then they transition to a transgender, and then they start winning these contests. But there's a lot of prize money involved in this. So,
well, put aside the prize money.
We have about 30 seconds. 30 seconds left.
Go back to basics, and that is how, you know, we're created for a purpose. We're created by a creator. You know, we are in God's image and likeness as females and as males. If we go down this path, it brings on confusion. It defies God's creation, but it also has serious ramifications of destroying sports, of creating huge discomfort in people's lives, in the majority of people's lives. Again, we go back to the minority. It's a very small fraction of 1% of people that have this transgender orientation. Or why should we disrupt society to accommodate that, you know, that fraction of 1%? It's crazy. It's insanity.
Legal insanity. All right, we're out of time, though, so I've got to let you go. But I'll link to your article. Thank you so much for being with us. Discovery.org for more information. Thanks, Scott Powell.
Great.